Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 28 and then verses 50 through 58. This is God's Word. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the firstfruits. Then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Verse 50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired word. I grew up in a very conservative family. I grew up in a family where we were taught to be cautious, to be careful, to always keep your options open. Don't run with scissors. We were very careful about germs. Some of us still are. We were taught to be cautious. Look both ways before you cross the street. Wear your seatbelt once they were invented. I remember time and again as I was growing up, the sentiment was, keep your options open. Be careful. Don't do anything rash. And one of the expressions that I heard from time to time was, well, that's fine, but don't put all your eggs in one basket. How many of you were told that as a child? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Now, that makes sense. You don't want to put all your stock in one company for your retirement. Think about all the people who had full confidence in Wachovia stock just a few years ago. You remember that? But I'll tell you something. When it comes to the gospel, the Bible teaches us we need to put all our eggs in one basket. We need to invest everything predicated on the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. We bet it all on that. We don't hold anything back. We don't have a plan B. We don't have a just in case this doesn't work out. We invest our lives, our time, our relationships, our finances, everything, we invest it all in the gospel, which is grounded in the fact that Jesus Christ conquered death. Folks, everything hinges on this. But what if it isn't true? Well, you're not supposed to even think thoughts like that, Pastor. Well, the Bible asks that question in the passage we just read. It says, what if it's not true? And the answer to that question is, then our preaching is useless and so is your faith. The question is asked and answered in this passage, in the verses that we read. In fact, the Apostle Paul says something that I wish everybody believed. And that is, if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are to be pitied more than all men. That's what he says, which is why it galls me when famous American evangelical preachers publish articles saying, you know, even if it's not true, Christianity is still the best religion out there. It's the best way to live. You know, you'll have a fulfilling life. You're going to treat other people better. You're going to be a contributing member to society. And so it's really still, even if it weren't true, now I believe it is true, of course, but even if it weren't true, it would still be the way to go. The Apostle Paul shouts from God's word and says to us, no, don't believe that. If your kind of Christianity is one that would be nice even if it weren't true, then that's not biblical Christianity. And sadly, much of American evangelicalism is a brand of false religion pretending to be biblical, but actually embracing this world's values. The reason I want to follow Jesus is I'll have a better marriage. The reason I follow Jesus is because I believe that the Bible teaches good financial principles and that I'll have a better career and a better financial picture if I'll just do what God says. Yeah, that really squares with Jesus saying, take up your cross and follow me. You must die daily. Daily? I was not even sure I was up for doing that once, you know. You're talking about every day I got to die to myself? Every day I've got to say no to my desires? Every day I've got to follow you? The answer is yeah. I just want to get to heaven. I don't really care about being one of the first class passengers. I don't have to have a little wings thing to put on my shirt. I just want to get there. What do I have to do just to get there? I don't want to be a disciple. I just want to be saved. Saved from what? Well, hell, of course. Salvation isn't just not going to hell. It's being a new creature in Christ. It's being a part of his kingdom, and that means he is Lord. He's our master. He's our ruler. We want to submit ourselves to him because we know he is worthy. He purchased us. And so it's not like, well, okay, listen, I really appreciate the forgiveness thing, and I may come to a point in my life when I really feel ambitious enough to kind of turn everything over to you, but right now, I'm just not to that point. Well, then you need to get saved. The Bible nowhere offers forgiveness as a separate package. Not in the Bible. Nowhere in the Scriptures. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Those who live like this are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the Word says. But then it says, and such were some of you. It's not if you've ever done those things, you can't go to heaven. It's you're not going to go to heaven still living that way. You're not going to go to heaven still trying to be your own boss. You're not going to go to heaven still trusting in your goodness, your works. Well, you know, God really ought to be pretty happy to have me on the team. I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do this. And I'm very careful to always, well, not always, but pretty often do this, this, and this. Anybody who's trusting in their good works, going to hell. That's the repeated testimony of the Scriptures. God in his Word tells us Jesus is the only way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God doesn't offer other plans. But let me tell you something. You can stake everything on Jesus, and every time you will have made the right decision. Doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter what else it costs you, you will always be making the right decision if you stake everything on Jesus. If you trust in him and in him alone. It does not mean things will always go your way. It doesn't mean things will always be comfortable. In fact, it guarantees that things will not always go your way and you will not always be comfortable. Jesus says in this life you're going to have tribulation, but be of good courage. I've already overcome the world. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Got to be willing to leave father, mother, brother, sister, children, whatever it is, you leave it all behind to follow Jesus. Are you saying we're supposed to abandon our families? I'm saying you're to have no competition with Jesus. None. You don't say to your family, get away from me, I'm following Jesus. That's not what it's called for. What you say is, I'm following Jesus. And if they say, well, then you're not part of this family. Okay. I can live with that. Are you going to follow Jesus? It'll cost you everything.
If you're a married couple and you want to enrich your marriage, we have a plan. April 27 through 29 should be a fabulous time of renewal and encouragement, refreshment for you as we study God's Word together. It is titled Sacred Union, and again, it's April 27 through 29 at the Blue Mountain Mist Country Inn here in the Great Smoky Mountains. My wife and I would love for you to join us if you're a married couple that wants to grow closer in your walk with the Lord and your walk with each other. So you can get more information and you can register at wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So,
and he's holding out his hand.
What difference does this make? Well, it makes all the difference. It validates the scriptures and the claims of Christ. If Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, then all the prophecies that said he would die and rise again are not true. That's why in the apostolic preaching, including in the verses we read here in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, according to the scriptures, according to the scriptures. Jesus took them back and said, this is what had to happen because the scriptures said so. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, says, you remember when the psalmist said that God would not allow his Holy One to undergo decay? Peter says he wasn't talking about himself because his grave is still here and we know it. He was talking about Jesus because he was. So the fact that Jesus rose from the dead validates the scriptures and it validates the claims of Christ. Jesus told his disciples that he was going to be handed over to the Gentiles, that he was going to be crucified, and that he was going to rise again on the third day. If he didn't rise again on the third day, then nothing happening here. Let's move on. Let's go fishing again. I mean, if Jesus didn't conquer death, then Jesus was a liar or a crazy man. I mean, those are your options. Well, I think he was a great man. I think he was a prophet. He was a false prophet if he said he was going to rise again and he didn't. It validates the scriptures and it validates the claims of Christ. Not only that, it grounds our confidence in history rather than fantasy. Our hope as Christians is not built on fantasy. It's built on history. It is something that actually happened. The title of today's sermon is, as a matter of fact, because this is a matter of fact. It really happened. Jesus really rose from the dead. It further provides a basis for investigation and an appeal to evidence. In other words, I'm not sure. Can you prove scientifically that Jesus rose from the dead? No, not right now, I can't. A little ways out in the future, I'll be able to prove it scientifically, but right now, I can't do that. You're going to have to die before we get that fixed. However, I can prove it historically. The evidence historically is absolutely overwhelming, and that's why generation after generation, some of the best apologists for the truth of the scriptures and the truth of the gospel are people who set out to prove it wasn't true. Famous military figure by the name of Lew Wallace was not just someone who didn't believe, he was someone who was hostile to the faith. And so he was so irritated by the people who did believe that he was going to investigate using his excellent military mind. He was going to investigate the facts and he was going to put together a case that would just devastate the religious people of his day. The more he investigated, the more horrified he was to discover the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is overwhelming. And he wrote a book called Ben-Hur that became one of the best sellers of all time. And the purpose of that book was to introduce people to the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord and He's alive. The evidence is overwhelming. And that's one of the blessings that is a result of this being a matter of fact. It's not a fantasy. It's not just an appealing myth. It is the truth of history. Friend of mine, dear friend of mine, at his birthday party, shared with his Jewish relatives and friends that he had had the joy of marrying his childhood sweetheart. They married, they had kids, he had a great career as an attorney. Everything was going well until one day he came home and he found that his wife, Wendy, had fallen in love with another man. He was just in shock. He couldn't believe that she would betray him like that. He thought, well, maybe I can just be patient and loving and she'll get over it. He said in time it became clear she was not going to get over it. And so he decided he was going to learn everything he could about this guy she'd fallen in love with. And he said, and the more I learned about him, the more I began to understand why she loved him. Until, grudgingly, I came to the point where I loved him too. And I want to tell you about him. His name is Jesus. Let me tell you something, folks. He is alive, and he's still winning hearts and lives to himself today. It is essential to our future hope. Notice that much of what we read in this chapter is talking about because Jesus rose from the dead, we can have confidence to live for him now, knowing that what's coming down the road is going to make it all worth it. If we really believe that Jesus conquered death, we've got nothing to be afraid of any longer. There's nothing that is more intimidating than facing death. But let me tell you something. Death, the ultimate enemy, that's the way it's described in this chapter. Death cannot stand against Jesus. He's already conquered it. He went through it for us. And whatever suffering occurs in this life, one thing I can guarantee you about it, it is temporary. It is temporary. I've seen some horrible suffering. My grandmother, who was an invalid for 14 years, enduring horrible pain day after day, night after night, when she was about to die, called the grandchildren who were in the house to her room and told them, live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. That's all that matters. Why? Because it's a matter of fact. He has conquered death. He's stronger than death. And so we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. And folks, the fact that he's alive changes everything about how we live right now. Because he is alive, we can actually have a personal relationship with him, not just believing he exists, but Jesus, he's accessible. Because he's alive, we can come to him right now and say, Lord, save me. Change me. Fill me. Use me for your glory. And you know what? He will. He will. It'll cost you everything. But if you're trusting in Jesus and in him alone, you have life. Abundant life, eternal life. And that's really good news.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.